Okay, what? I'll sing something with Jamie. Well, okay, here we go. Jamie is over and Jamie's gone. Jamie's decided it's time to move on. Jamie's got new dreams he's building upon. And I'm still hurting. That's a song called I'm Still Hurting. I sing all about that Jamie destroyed my life.
The Latinos Out Loud Podcast.
All right, you guys, it is that time here on the show where we interview someone, help me say it, amazing. Oh my God, our guests filled me with so much joy. I don't know if they do the same for you, but without further ado, she is a Los Angeles-based actor, singer, musician, songwriter, and content creator. Wow. Please put your hands together for Gabriela Carrillo.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is the Hype Man, Hype Woman show. Welcome, okay?
Yeah.
New name.
I feel great already.
Scratch Latinos Out Loud, it's the Hype show. That's what this
is. Yes, I got to come back every week to get my confidence boost. That was great.
Welcome, Mujer de Dios. How are you? It's good to have you here. My God, you've been busy.
Thank you. Yes, it's good to be here. Yeah, I was just telling my mom, it feels like life is kind of going 0 to 100 after, you know, being vaccinated, after live theaters coming back, entertainment's coming back. And I've been waiting for this moment for like a year and a half, but I'm also like starting to feel overwhelmed. So it's been, yeah, I feel more busy than ever, I think, because I'm also just adjusting to having things to do again. Wow. That are outside the house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, where in the world is Gabriela Carrillo?
Currently, I am in Los Angeles. I'm in Glendale, California.
Awesome. And what's the energy like out there? So things are opening back up, or like people still not getting together? Because that's one thing I noticed about LA is like, if you live far away from each other, you just don't see each other, right? Like,
oh yeah, so definitely.
I couldn't live like I couldn't. But anyway, tell us.
Yeah, I think things are definitely opening back up because we had a really great vaccination rate. So I personally was not ready to see, you know, people be in groups until I was vaccinated. Luckily, I'm fully vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So, and I think many people are choosing to do so. So I've been to the movie theater. We're still like social distancing, but I saw my first movie in theaters in a long time. Bars are slowly opening, and I think things are going to go full capacity June 15th. Maybe we'll see. But it feels pretty normal now. I mean, I don't know what normal is, but I feel like optimistic about how things are going.
I tried the movie theater. I got as close as the lobby. So,
okay.
You know, but The Conjuring 3 sounded great.
Yes.
That's really exciting. And so you're now kind of at a crossroads. We're, you know, we are sketch comedians. I just got off of performing my first post-pandemic sketch comedy show here in an off-Broadway theater over the weekend. So it's funny you say that. We were just talking about that. It's also, it was somewhat foreign in the beginning, but then once sort of I got back on the bike, I was like, oh, I know this and I love it. And we're back.
Yeah. And I think that also even, I mean, audiences, I'm sure it must be the same for your type of entertainment. You feel like audiences are just ready for it. Like everybody's in a good mood and everybody's thankful to be there and just wanting to have a good time. And as I, you know, kind of get back into live theater, I'm hoping that I feel that from the audience even more than usual, is that they're just so grateful to that this is happening, you know?
Can I say something? Are you guys curtain peekers? I'm a curtain peeker. If I have access to the curtain before the show, I'm gonna peek, okay? I'm a curtain peeker. So I curtain peeked and they were like this.
Yeah.
Waiting.
Nice.
Waiting for the content to come alive, to erupt on stage, waiting for the sketch comedy. So that is beautiful. So, okay, I want to talk about the last 5 years, because here's where the pivot happens back to live theater. And I know you're doing a lot with ICT, with the International City Theater. So let me get organized. Let's talk about the last 5 years, because that's a digital experience. So explain to us what that was.
Yeah. So there have been very few auditions during COVID because, you know, here and there, there would be like a movie filming in Canada or New Zealand or something, but there wasn't much going on, especially for theater. So I got an audition like a month ago or something for a digital production of The Last 5 Years, which is a very famous musical by Jason Robert Brown. It's a contemporary musical. And it's a cast of two people, someone named Jamie and someone named Kathy. They're a couple, and it tells the story of their 5-year relationship.
Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie.
You're everywhere, Jamie.
Not based on me. Not based on me.
I sing a lot of songs involving that name. So
we have to hear a little bit. Can we please?
Oh my God.
Will you sing for us at the end of the interview? Will you sing us?
Okay, maybe a little bit, little bit, a little.
Yes.
Bit.
Just a little
yes.
taste.
Poquitico.
Wait for it, listeners. Wait for it. Continue.
I've sealed my fate. Okay. But yeah, so I sent in a tape for that, and I got my friend John and I were both vaccinated. So it was our first, we said, why don't we go get bagels? This is our first time we've seen each other. So we sat down, got bagels. He said, what's up with you? I said, nothing. I'm trying to audition for things. I sent in a tape for The Last 5 Years. I'm probably not going to get it. I bet like a million people auditioned for that. Now that's a lesson to me not to downplay myself all the time. Like,
never.
Why do we talk like that?
Yes.
I don't really know why I did that. Yeah. But, and he was
you
like, yeah, he's like, I sent in for that too, but I bet everybody wants it. So we'll see. And then it ended up that we got the roles and we got to do it together, and we've already been friends.
Unbelievable.
So that was very special. Oh. It was, of course, we didn't do it in the same room, but we still got to do a show together, and it, you know, that was really special. So that's kind of how it went down. And then we filmed, we kind of rehearsed and filmed within like a span of a week. Then it went into editing mode, and now it's available for streaming on ICT's website. So it was a very, very like quick show process. And very unique, but I do feel like pretty cool that I get to say I did a COVID style show. Like, I feel like when I'm older, I can look back and be like, yes, I did a show on Zoom. I was alive for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I never even thought of it. I never, ever thought of it through that lens. Not only did we experience this pandemic, but then to experience it within one's craft and then to look back at it in hindsight. Wow, you guys. Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
You're right. So then to sort of move forward, now you have American Mariachi, which you're working on, which is back to live, right? We back to seeing people and hearing audience and exchanging, like, well, we don't really exchange, but there is saliva projected from the stage to the audience, which I enjoy. I enjoy both being on stage and the recipient of the saliva as an audience member. I just have to say that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's very, very exciting.
What were you gonna say, Jamie? My bad. Did I cut you off?
Projectile. Your saliva is very projectile.
I've been working on
Linda Blair
nice.
In The Exorcist type.
I've been working on. I'll show you guys in a second what I can do with these glands. Yeah, there's a lot of saliva glands that I've been, you know, finessing through the years of being a sketch comedian. Can we talk about American Mariachi and not my saliva, please? Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like a dream way to re-enter theater. So I did that show 2 years ago at South Coast Repertory, which is in Costa Mesa, California. And what a dream show. I mean, to this day, and people always ask me, what's your favorite theater thing that you've ever done? And I've been doing professional theater since I was 9. So I have like a lot of stuff that I've done that was really cool.
Wow.
But
girl.
That was the one that just by far was the most touching for me. My dad got to come out and see it. And, you know, we were emotional about it. I think my first show where I really got to play a Chicana role, which I am, and celebrate that and celebrate my culture, you know, speak both languages in a play. And I love mariachi music, and I got to work with real mariachis. And I was kind of so ignorant to the fact that there are like young mariachis. I don't know why I always thought that they were like older guys and it's an older craft. And there are like young mariachis are coming up, and there would be kids before the show performing. We'd have different groups.
Cute.
So it was just, not only was it a great theater, a great place to work, but it was just so like food for my soul. So I never thought I would be able to do it again. You know, usually shows you do it and you're done. And I just, you know, I always knew it was something I'd always think about and wish that I could relive, but probably never could. And then I got a call a couple months ago that they were like, hey, listen, we're not sure what's going on yet because we need to talk to the union and the stuff with COVID, but we want to bring the show back. It was so popular. We want to do it outside at the Mission at San Luis Capistrano, which is this old, beautiful, sort of like Spanish style mission here in California that I actually visited with my family when I was like 6 or 7 on one of my first trips out here. So it's just all full circle.
Wow.
And now it's really happening. So I got to tune up my violin because I do play violin in the show with the mariachi band.
Wow. Yes.
I have my own little traje and it's like beautiful. And it is just going to be the best way to come back to live theater. The best.
Mm.
Yeah.
I have a profound respect for mariachi music.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I wanted to ask you about mariachi. Can you talk to us? I'm Dominican. I mean, we always get like a mariachi when we want to, you know, for our mothers or our girls. But talk to me about the mariachi and then that whole, you know, that whole music and that vibe.
Yeah. So from what I know, it's kind of a fusion. It was a lot of Spanish influence that sort of the Mexican culture kind of took Spanish instruments that were brought over, a little bit of the style, and created their own art form, which is mariachi music. And yeah, culturally, I mean, it's sort of like a womb to tomb situation. Like mariachis go to birthday parties. They play at funerals all the time.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Everywhere in between. Yeah, wow. I mean, these guys play funerals every week. My friends who are mariachis, they go to several. So it's, you know, I have respect for them in that sense as well,
because they
are giving a lot as musicians. And then, you know, I've had a lot of experiences going to bars and restaurants where mariachis play, and they get certain requests from people, and people just, it's a very unique experience, because in public, usually when people hear their favorite songs or a song that moves them, they might not want to cry and they might like feel something inside, but they don't want to show it. And I find when people listen to mariachi, it just all comes out. Like people of all ages, it just comes out. You just see the whole room crying.
A serenata. You do a serenata to a woman, to a female. Yeah, that was back in the days. That was very, you know.
Absolutely.
Very formal.
Yeah, so it just feels, it's just beautiful. It you know, transports me, I feel, to another time. It moves me in an emotional way that no other genres do. And it's so awesome to know that there are like little bitty kids that are training in this type of music. And I really had no idea about how alive that culture is. So I'm glad that this show was also able to just teach me that, is that it's very much alive.
Wow.
I just got to shout out mariachi music too, because in a past life, I produced some events out in San Antonio, and I got to shout out Sebastian de la Cruz, who is a young mariachi artist who was on America's Got Talent.
I got
to know him, and I'll never forget when he serenaded me and the group that I was in on the San Antonio.
Rachel, ¿qué pasa?
Frank, he was 7 years old,
wow,
serenading us with a voice that resonated down the entire San Antonio Riverwalk.
Wow.
And that was pre-America's Got Talent. So when he got on AGT, I was like, oh my God, that's Sebastian de la Cruz. He performed at the event that we were at. But anyway, I just want to say, like, it's beautiful. As a Dominican, we're not really taught the roots of mariachi music.
Sure.
We're taught the roots of merengue and like bachata. But the mariachi, the traje, is also something so experiential, you know,
and usually
comes
so
from
beautiful.
Your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I want to see this show. I wish I was in Los Angeles. Is there any way that someone not in Los Angeles can see the show?
Mm.
Well, there are clips of the last time I did it. If people look up on YouTube, American Mariachi South Coast Repertory, there are some clips. They put together a really beautiful trailer. So that's, of course, not the same as seeing the show, but you get to see like some scenes, some songs. And otherwise, I just have my fingers crossed that this show will go to Broadway or will really take off. They've already done productions, you know, in Arizona. They're doing one in Arkansas, I think. So it's kind of going everywhere. And I just hope that in some way I can continue to be a part of it, because it really just, this show is just everything.
Thanks.
Now, Gabriela, you've done, like you were saying, you've done theater since you were 9. You've had a lot of roles. Your bio says you were... pre-pandemic, you were Elsa in Frozen live.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, oh my God!
That was definitely my other most, my favorite experience in theater, because people ask if I have stage fright, and I don't. I'm like excited to get on stage. That was the only time where I was nervous to get on stage. because wow. it's children and you are the Queen Elsa. Oh. And if you mess up, if I mean, you are living up to a Disney standard making magic for these children. And I remember going to Disney and seeing, I think it was like a Beauty and the Beast show or maybe Aladdin. I loved all those different shows. And they, I mean, at the end of the show, I'm able to look out and wave. And I always find a child. It's just, it was a lot of pressure and I was scared. And because I remember when I saw a show, Belle, when I was probably 4, looked at me in the audience, waved and mouthed, "I love you" to me. And I still remember that. I still remember that to this day because I literally believed that Belle, the princess, loved me, and it made my day. Wow. And so I, at the end of every show, I would always find a child in the audience and tell them I love them. And that was my special moment because, you know, I think the love of theater can start when you're young. And I think in general, there's no magic like there is when you're that age. And I felt like such an immense responsibility to be a part of it actually. But wow, how awesome. And I got to I had a moving staircase.
And you got to sing Let It Go, right? That's the...
I did. And I had the transformation in like one Whoa. Second. And I got to see all that Disney magic. And it was just... And just also, what a wonderful company to work for. Everyone was just so kind. And I just had a great time. So that was a big sort of loss that I grieved when COVID came along because I had to leave the job because of COVID. And because, you know, they shut Disney down. So, but I will always look back on that and just be so thankful that I got to play that role. Mm.
I can imagine if we ever went to karaoke, I'd be like, I'd put on Let It Go on the, I'd do it behind your back and then be like, Graviela, you want to take this?
Oh my God.
And you'd be like, oh, not again.
Not again.
Why the third time tonight?
Yeah, this would just be Elsa with tequila. It's a different performance, but.
Ooh, okay. Sign me up. I'm going to get tickets for me and my girls to see that
different,
one.
Different type of performance, yeah.
Different type of letting go. I'm just going to, let the alcohol flow.
I actually usually do let it all go when drinking tequila, you know? So that works, that song. Yeah. You just got to let it all out, let it go.
Yeah.
This is really exciting. So is there anything that you're working on now that you can just give us the upper hand on? Give us a little secret or something. What you got going on?
There are some shows. If people live in LA, there are some shows. Before the pandemic, I did a show called Love Actually Live. And so it's, if you've seen the movie Love Actually, they partnered with, I believe it was Paramount, to get the rights for the movie. And we did a musical of Love Actually, and the movie was like kind of playing on the screen in the background. Sometimes it was at this beautiful theater in Beverly Hills. It felt very fancy. I felt really, it was during Christmas. It was kind of a dream come true. And so that may or may not be returning for the holidays. And that company who does that show may or may not be putting on other things that I may or may not be a part of. So I will definitely be kind of popping off in LA this year. And I'm very excited because I'm like, let's go. I'm chomping at the bit.
It says you played Aurelia, the character.
Yeah, yeah.
So isn't the person that she's with also Jamie? So you've been in a lot of theater shows with Jamie in the name.
Yes. Okay. You're right. I didn't even realize that.
What's going on, guys?
Something's in the air.
I'm like, you must hate that name now, though. You must be like, all right, no more Jamie. No more.
In Love Actually, it's a good character. In last 5 years, he cheats on me several times. So not so good. But, you know, it's all right. I think you're a good Jamie. So
no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Oh, I'm a Gemini, so everybody might think like I have those two sides. They might be like I have those two sides, but no.
Did you just have a birthday? Do you have a recent birthday coming up?
It's coming up. It's coming up in June 18th.
Okay.
So you know. But no, I'm a good Jamie. I'm a good Jamie. I'm a Love Actually Jamie.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Gabriela, you know, you also have a social media presence, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Instagram, TikTok, you have a YouTube channel. You have over like 126 subscribers.
Yeah.
126,000, yo.
What did I say? Oh, I didn't see the K.
126.
I had 126K in my head.
That's an uppercase K, JV. You better recognize.
That's what I meant.
Yo, that's a lot, son.
So tell us about that. Tell us about like your social media personality, like, you know, your branding that you've done so far?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of all started on YouTube. I started a channel when I was like 14 because I wanted to do the beauty videos, whatever. And then I would put up videos once in a while. And then a couple years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago when I moved to LA, speaking of Gemini astrology stuff, I always talk about astrology and my friends always ask me about it. And they were like, why don't you make a YouTube video about it or something? And I'm like, well, no, because it's not my job. And well, who's going to listen to that? But it turns out that after I started uploading astrology videos, my channel totally exploded. I have like,
wow,
you know, 500,000 to like 1 million views on my astrology videos. And so that was cool. And I did that for a while. But then, you know, it's one thing, like, I understand that it's important to have a brand, but I think also me as a person, I wanted people to know that I'm diverse and I don't just talk about astrology. And that's not even my job. I'm not a professional astrologer. So once I started getting a following, I decided that even if they don't get as many views, I'm going to make videos about other things that I care about, you know, mental health, self-care. I love talking about fragrance. I talk about that on my channel. I do vlogs. You know, if people want to see the behind the scenes life of a professional entertainer in LA, that's kind of my vlogs. I did one about being Elsa, kind of following me through my day. So, you know, it was just a personal decision to be like, I'm going to start making content that I want to make. Because I think as a content creator, if you don't, you will burn out or you become kind of resentful because you're not really, your heart's not really in it. So I diversified my social media and I've had a lot of fun with that. And then on TikTok, yeah, I started doing TikTok over quarantine. I make a lot of like Latino themed TikToks. I teach people how to, you know, if you didn't grow up dancing to Latin music, I teach them basic steps.
Love it.
I teach them how not to look clumsy, like dancing to reggaeton in the club. I'm like, here are some moves you can do to not look awkward. All different. I just think of what do people want or what do I think some people need out there? And I'm like, you need to know how to dance to this because you're being a wallflower and you should just come out. If you just had a couple moves, you would do it. So
get off the phone, Frank, and dance. That's what's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because I think it is really intimidating to some people. Even like a lot of Latinos maybe didn't grow up dancing to that music. And I'm like, you got to know that like I am one that grew up dancing to that and I don't judge you. And I want you to, we all just want you to join the party. So yeah. So now my social media is kind of a little bit of everything. And I try to really show my personality and my various interests. And I've had a really good time with it.
That is so exciting. If you ever need a contributor, I can show some basic reggae moves.
Oh.
Old school reggae. Oh, she got boy. The old school reggae on lock.
I wouldn't say professional, but like I could go up against the best Jamaican reggae dancer out there and probably outdance them. So
that's amazing. How did you get into that?
I'm from Brooklyn, yep.
And yep. Yeah, a lot of house parties in late 80s, early 90s.
A lot of sweaty house parties.
And just going to parties and stuff?
Basement parties, garage parties.
Yeah.
I did them all.
Bodega basement cool. parties.
Wow, that's so cool.
Eventually get raided by the cops.
Poom poom shots and 40 ounces. I could dance reggae while holding and drinking a 40 ounce. So
I have to come to New York. Something. Like now.
It would be a wrap. If you come to New York.
That sounds amazing.
We would love to hang with you. You're doing incredible things. You're representing for your culture while doing them. Right. So thanks. Kudos to you. Stage applause. Here's the applause circle coming your way through Zoom.
Thank you.
Please let everyone know how they can follow you and experience some of this exciting content. Where are you at on social?
On TikTok, I'm Gabriela Francesca because for some people it's just easier to spell that. So that's my first and middle name. If you look up Gabriela Francesca on YouTube, you'll find me too. On Instagram, I am G Francesca Music because I made that back when I do release music on Spotify. I'm a songwriter, but now I do more than that, but I guess I can't change my username right now. So G Francesca Music, same thing on Twitter. But if you search up Gabriela Francesca or Carrillo, you'll find me. And it's different on every social media. So I definitely think people should, you know, my content on Instagram is different than TikTok. I'm a little more risky on TikTok. So,
okay.
You know,
okay.
So, yeah.
That's exciting.
Gabriela, though, we're not going to forget, though. You were going to sing us a little something, something.
Okay, well, I'll sing something with Jamie.
Ooh.
Okay, here we go. Jamie is over and Jamie's gone. Jamie's decided it's time to move on. Jamie's got new dreams he's building upon. And I'm still hurting. That's a song called I'm Still Hurting. I sing all about that Jamie destroyed my life.
You guys, yeah, but you just destroyed the mic. One time for Gabriela Carrillo, people. Come on.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Gabriela. I'm sorry.
Oh, what a bonus. Wow. Thank you for coming on our show. We support you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Please check back in with us so we can keep the conversation flowing. And sigue pa'lante, girl.
Hey. Yeah. Your thing. Thank you so much for having me, y'all.
Nice having you. Thank you.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.